and welcome to Walking in the Mist. Today we have Jennifer C. and Pterodactyl, and we'll be talking today about chakras and also some gifts for the metaphysician. So, hi guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. Hi, Jason. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Jason.
So, well, I guess we'll start with talking about chakras and just talking about, well, like, what are chakras and talking about, you know, your work, both of you working with chakras and how you think they're important. So, Jennifer, do you want to start?
Sure. I started working with chakras years ago because I was... you know, sometimes we go through our lives in the world, in the three-dimensional world, we bump up against things that are difficult and we're not sure how to handle them. And chakras really provided me with an opportunity to connect with not only the three-dimensional world, right, the colored world out there in the universe, but also the energies inside my body, because chakras represent subtle energy centers inside the body that are associated with different feeling states and different colors and different vibrations that we bump up against energetically in our lives. And so I started working with chakras because I was struggling with some things in my external life, in my world, and created a series of meditations and tonings to work with that so that I could handle things better, so that when I bumped up against stuff that was difficult, I had some tools in my toolbox. And now I'm getting ready to do a series of workshops on working with the chakras, working with this toning process, and then doing some chakra mapping, which helps us with some of the bigger goals in our life so that we have a strategy to move toward and in the direction of our dreams by approaching different kinds of tasks and then noticing energetically when we do the meditation in conjunction with that and the toning, how we're able to move through those fears and blockages toward actualizing a part of that dream or that goal to get closer to our final goal. So I'm pretty excited about the workshops and getting ready to do them at the beginning of November for a group of folks, and excited about the direction that it's headed in. And really have to say, it's just been a wonderful, amazing tool. And I wouldn't have known when I started how transformational a tool it could be.
Very amazing. Okay, and for you, Pterodactyl, I know that you've talked about chakras on your show. And can you tell us a little bit about your work with chakras and how you work with them?
Sure. You know, yeah, on There's a Rock for That here on the Attuned Magazine Radio Network, we, you know, chakras seem to be something that always relates. You know, a lot of what Jennifer was just saying really resonates with me, because it does have, it is, I like the idea of mapping. You know, because I do think it is kind of a roadmap in a sense to, you know, what our responses are, you know, how we're taking in things around us, how do we react to people, you know, the challenges that we have, the things that challenge us. And doing a show all about crystals and rocks and stuff, I think is a wonderful kind of, there's a synergy there with the chakra system. And at least, you know, I work mainly with the seven main ones. You know, I had Diana Cooper on the show a few months ago, and you know, she's like, you gotta use, you know, all of the chakras. So there's, you know, hundreds of them, you know. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that would take me a while there. But I found it really useful to stick with the seven main ones. And basically, because I like the idea of the color associations with them. Now, I know the color associations with them that we use now, that sort of rainbow color, is kind of a more, you know, it's a more modern take on it, you know. And you go way back, and there's been different colors by different cultures associated with different chakras. But I like working with the colors of the rainbow because so many different stones fall into those colors. You have your red stones, you have your orange stones, you have your yellow stones, blue, green, etc. And to me, that's such an easy way. When somebody's interested in learning about crystals or learning how to work with them, I always recommend that they work with the chakra system, because then at least they have a starting point that's really easy. You know, you can remember Roy G. Biv, you know, you can remember the colors of the rainbow. And I just, I love the rainbow anyways. I always tell people, you know, you're supposed to eat the rainbow, you know, eat all those different colors of food and everything, you know, to have kind of balance in your diet. And I think paying attention and working with stones of all those different colors too helps us stay in balance as well.
Yeah. What if you just eat Skittles?
What? What did you say?
What if you just eat Skittles? I mean,
you could do the colors of the rainbow with that too. I don't know how healthy that is.
Well, Jennifer, you talked about mapping. Can you explain kind of a little bit about what mapping is, and just tell us basically what you mean by mapping?
Sure. It was a system I came up with when I was getting ready to go to graduate school, because I was so overwhelmed with the task. There's so many details and steps to getting into a graduate program, or really doing any larger thing, like, you know, starting a babysitting co-op, painting an entire house and revamping it. It can be really, really daunting and intimidating when there's all of these tasks that we have to do. And so some of us just block on the whole thing and we go, oh, I just don't have the energy, I don't have the time, it's not in me, this sort of thing. But if we can start to take each one of those tasks that we have to do and break them down, and create a map for ourselves. Imagine that the primary goal, whatever it is, getting into the grad program, selling your house, is the central goal. Then there are just spokes that come off of that, and then you make just little bubbles around that, and then other bubbles. It looks like a series of bubbles and spokes. And then you start to assign all of the tasks from the first task that you do toward the middle, the details. And what I figured out is that often the first tasks are about gathering supplies, gathering information, this sort of thing. So you put them into the little bubbles, and then you start to do the meditation, which is a series of meditations that relaxes you and gets you centered in the place of that chakra. And notice energetically what comes up for you as you go out into the three-dimensional world and actually do those tasks to get closer to your goal. And what I noticed when I was getting ready to go to graduate school was that I was blocking on my first chakra a whole bunch, right? That's our root chakra, so that has to do with moving through basic fears, moving through defense mechanisms, taking up space for our vision, these sorts of things. And I was doing everything else, all the details, written the papers, you know, done all the moving across the country, figured out the budget, all that. But anything where something that was coming up with a big, big fear, I was blocking on those. So you start to fill in your little bubbles based on the chakras. And you can, it really gets you motivated to build. Gosh, I did all the second chakra ones, all the ones that helped me feel more joy and more connected to my senses. I've done all those tasks. And you start to isolate and say, oh, wow, this is the area of blockage for me. The area is the third chakra or the chakra, right? So then you can start to say, well, this is the bigger stuff. This is the stuff that is going to make a little more time, a little more attention, a little more awareness, a little more love to get these things done. And then you can start to do the meditation with those pieces in mind. And it does literally shift the energy and move you through the place where you don't experience as much of a blockage so that you can complete that task. And then you're just filling in, you're just zipping along, and you're just filling in all your little bubbles, and you're getting closer and closer to your goal. And you have a support and a map. Just even see your progress, you know, and say, wow, you know, I honestly did it. But there's a situation where you feel more guided and more connected to the universe and to your own subtle body awareness as you're doing it. So
wow, it sounds like a really useful system, and I think that definitely you're working on things that are blocked, and I think that's what I know of the chakras. You have to work with those blockages and discover where they are. Pterodactyl, you use stone sometimes to work on these blockages. Can you tell us about some stones that you use? Some good chakra stones or some good stones to use related with the chakras?
Whew, where to start? you know, like I was saying, you know, you can work with the colors for one thing, and also, you know, certain stones help, you know, look, each chakra is connected to a variety of issues, right? You know, they could be the cause of a blockage or, you know, a partial blockage or just kind of, you know, a slowing down, basically, is the way I kind of look at it. You know, if we think of each of the chakras as these, you know, they're open and spinning when they're nice and healthy, I think sometimes it gets sluggish, you know, where they're not completely blocked, but, you know, it's so hard to deal with certain issues, right? And there's some stones that actually are really great for clearing all of the chakras. You know, the one of the shows that I did recently, I talked about smithsonite, and that's one where if you put it at the crown chakra, it can align all the chakras all the way down. You know, I like doing layouts to bring things into alignment, to detect blockages and to unblock chakras. I like working with a pendulum. And there's a variety of, you know, different ways that you can deal with it. I like doing a chakra alignment where I use a particular stone, you know, that I place on each chakra, and then, you know, I put like a bigger, let's see if I have it. You know, sometimes what I'll use is I'll use a nice big chunk of amethyst, this that I'll put above the crown. And usually it really depends on what I'm dealing with. So I think red jasper is a great stone for root chakras, you know, just in general, if you're just doing a general layout. Now, you might look at other red stones to deal with particular issues, and some that maybe speak to what is your root chakra issue, you know. For orange, you know, for the second chakra, the sacral chakra, I like really a lot. I like carnelian, but sometimes, you know, orange calcite might work a little bit better depending on what I'm dealing with. And the solar plexus chakra, you know, citrine is wonderful, you know, practically for everything. But also sometimes yellow jasper or yellow calcite might actually speak more to the exact kind of thing that you're dealing with, what the problem is, what the issue is, what's your situation. And then the heart chakra, I mean, we have rose quartz, which is just beautiful. It has such a lovely energy, healing energy. It's a great all-around stone anyways for healing, for support, for dealing with issues of love, for dealing with issues of self-love. But sometimes we're thinking more about, like, the health aspect of things, you know. And maybe we need a little more, I want to say kind of an opening of our heart chakra, you know, or just an opening of our heart sometimes. And I really prefer like the green stones, you know. Green aventurine is wonderful for that. Malachite is a very interesting stone for that if we're talking about healing the heart, because it has all this great healing energy and it's very powerful kind of energy and vibe to malachite. And then, you know, when we're talking about the throat chakra, what's the issue? Are we having problems speaking our truth, as we like to talk to, and a lot of people do have an issue with that? Are we worried about doing something like this show where we've got a talk, you know, and it's a public presentation, you know, but there's other stones that, you know, might be more conducive to that. I do like blue lace agate for the throat chakra, and also sodalite, I think, is a wonderful stone for the throat chakra as well. And then working with the third eye, you have like, whoa, such a big variety of stones, and in what way do you want to work with it? You know, is it tapping more into our intuitive thoughts, or is it actually trusting our intuition, you know, because that's kind of a, you know, there's a, that happens a lot where we get messages or we get, you know, kind of knowing about things, you know, our gut instincts, and we don't listen to them, you know, and then we pay the price kind of. So I like things like tanzanite or even lapis lazuli. And even amethyst for the third eye. And then for the crown chakra, clear quartz is great, selenite is great, amethyst is wonderful. And there's a lot of, you know, all these things are interchangeable. And I think a lot of times what's fun, too, is that we find different connections with different chakras. You know, if we're not speaking our truth, maybe it has to do with our heart, you know. If we're not listening to our intuition, maybe that has to do with our root chakra. Maybe we're insecure about it. Maybe, you know, it's a confidence thing even. Maybe it's a solar plexus, you know. So it's a fascinating kind of world to me where, you know, we've got these basically, you know, relatively inexpensive tools that we can work with, and we can get to know the stones, we can work with their energy, and they can help us, you know, to deal with things that we have difficulty with.
Very fascinating. I know that you mentioned intuition, and I know that Jennifer works a lot with intuition in her work as well. Jennifer, how do you use intuition? I know that we talk a lot about feeling something in a certain chakra, and how can you give us a little bit of background about how to know intuitively how your chakras are working with you?
Sure, you know, that's a process, and that's what I love about what Pterodactyl is saying about how maybe the issue it has to do with your heart, but it shows up in a different place, and how it really has to do with taking a journey within yourself. And that's true with the chakra mapping as well. When you start to do the work, you get to say, oh, wow, this task brings up this fear or concern or awareness about, you know, exploring my creativity further, and at the root of it is a fear about exploring my creativity. So that might be fifth chakra. It might be sixth if it's intuitive creativity. And that's where we really get to take the journey. Sometimes these books can be so black and white, you know, this always means this. But when we start on a journey, as I know both of you know from your own spiritual work, your own spiritual journey, it becomes so much more nuanced and so much more refined than that. So it really is about trusting your own intuition and having support for doing that, having people in place, wonderful shows like There's a Rock for that, where people suggest that this isn't a destination to get to, but it's a homing and instinctual kind of deepening of awareness about what this whole arena looks like for us. So that I was thinking when you were talking, Pterodactyl, about the idea of taking those stones in conjunction with the chakra mapping, and say you have to go out and get, like I had to go out and get transcripts from different colleges and stuff where I didn't complete work necessarily, but I had to get them to get, you know, a certain transcript grade to get, you know, to send it to Pacifica for school. And maybe that's a scary thing because it brings stuff up for you. So maybe, you know, that means you have to open your heart and have more self-love. So you stick, a green adventurine in your pocket. So you have support on that journey, maybe if you don't have a support person. So I love the idea that these things can be used in conjunction with each other. And it's just about trusting your inner guidance, which you guys all talk about. So
the show is going really well, and it's so interesting. We both have had to say. I think one thing that I would like to talk about is just for somebody who's really just a beginner and doesn't really know anything about, you know, I think everybody has heard about chakras. You know, everybody's heard that word. can put out there, and they know it has to do with colors, and maybe they know some of the chakras, and you know, maybe they also think about auras as well. When you think about colors, you think about auras and chakras. What advice would you give someone who wants to learn about chakras?
I think the first time that I really, started thinking about it was, I don't remember when the first time. It was a long time ago. But for me, it started with Anna Deajuidis' Wheels of Life book, you know, and I think that that's, you know, one of the classic tomes on it, and it truly is a tome on it. But really, the information is sort of everywhere, and I think what it is whatever the source is, wherever your starting point is, explore it. Explore it for yourself. Learn about the colors. You know, that's great because it makes it easy to associate with all different kinds of things. You know, you can do color therapy with it, you know. So you learn about, say, you start with the first chakra, right? You learn about the whatever chakra you want to start with, and you start with the root chakra, and you read all these different things that, you know, it has to do with. And you see, like, maybe an outline of, you know, approximately where this is located on your physical body. What parts of your body can you relate to that chakra? And maybe even what crystals are associated with it as well, or even essential oils, or, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, correspondences to these things. But I think wherever it is, wherever the source is that you began your journey with this, is that you do your own experimentation, you do your own exploration, you find out what works for you, what resonates for you, what makes a difference, you know, and then I think you kind of take it from there, because it's going to be more meaningful than just, you know, reading a book and saying, like, oh, okay, now I know this stuff, you know. Put it into action instead, and I think that's how we really benefit from it.
Okay, that's great. Very, very interesting. For us, anything more that we want to say about chakras? I think we've covered a lot.
Well, I have a thought. My thought is, for someone who's a novice, who doesn't know anything about this, who we've thrown around all these great kind of later ideas about, you know, crystal grids and chakra mapping and this sort of thing. But maybe in this show, or maybe in the next show, if we could just do a rundown of each chakra, so people knew exactly what it was we were talking about, where in their body it's located, what issues it might have to do with, what the blockages, you know, kind of the framework of the blockages, as kind of a point of departure. That might be an interesting thing. It might be a piece people are missing.
Well, could you give us like a breakdown of some of the chakras?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I will do that. Sure. So the first chakra is between our sit bones, and it's our root chakra, and it resonates to the tone lum, and it has to do with the color red. And when that chakra is blocked, we really struggle with how to take up space in our lives, who to trust in the world, what situations to trust, how to move through our basic primal defense mechanisms, and how to make our lives bigger, how to literally take up space in the world. When that chakra is balanced, or when it's starting to open, we have more of a sense of general trust in our lives. We experience less defense mechanisms and more just honest connection with the world around us, with nature and with grounding. And we take more space. We start to move further out of our homes and connect with people further out in the world. And do things that scare us, you know, go through things and experience things that might bring fear up in us, and move through that energetically. And a great way to work with that chakra is to notice the color red and to tone the tone lum. And I do it in the bathtub when I'm, you know, if I'm like really wigged out over the day and I've had some difficult experiences, I'll just start with my first chakra, and I'll just tone the tone lum. And I'll just kind of be in that space of knowing that it means I'm moving through my fears and I'm connecting with the energy of grounding in the universe. And so that's a great way to know that it's opening, is when we're walking around day to day, we start to feel safer and more of a sense of trust in general. So our second chakra is our sacral chakra, and it's right there below our belly button, and it resonates to the tone Vum. And the color is orange. And when that chakra is blocked, we can really struggle. And this happens in our lives when we bump up against trauma, right? We can really struggle with feeling a sense of joy because we kind of collapse or shut down or tighten our energies up. And so we don't allow ourselves to experience our five senses because maybe we've bumped up against energetically something that's been difficult. And so instead of allowing things to be really colorful and really feeling and really evocative, it's safer to us to push away. There's a price of that, which is we don't experience as much joy or as much connection with our five senses. But we feel more protected and more safe. And we know that that chakra is opening up because it's easier for us to feel a sense of joy, a sense of connection, and a sense of really embracing the energy of the five senses. Our world is so beautiful, profoundly beautiful. Colors are so bright. Visions are so beautiful and so refined. But we only experience them that way if allow ourselves to work with open that second chakra. So our third chakra is our solar plexus chakra. It's right there above our belly button, and it resonates to the tone Rum, and the color is yellow. And when that chakra is closed, we really struggle with our ego. And we can struggle with it in two different ways. Some people struggle with it by not coming to the table about what they want to bring into the world. And they say, oh, it doesn't matter, and I don't care, and no one's going to listen to me. And some of us struggle with it by being overconfident and just being like, you know, a bull in a china shop and not paying any attention to what other people are needing and what... and it can be really competitive. And so we know that this chakra is starting to open up when we're able to connect with a sense of our authentic self without dragging our ego, either, you know, a protracted small ego or a great big overzealous ego with us. And we can connect and we can move into this place of actualizing our dreams. So, and then our fourth chakra is our heart chakra, and that resonates to the tone Yum, and the color's green. And when that chakra is closed, we struggle with love. We struggle with what that means for us. We struggle with do we have enough to give some to ourselves and give some out there? So our boundaries are not very fluid or flexible. They can be really, really rigid, and it's hard for us to draw love into our lives or draw support into our lives where people can love us easily or where we can love them easily. And when that chakra is starting to open, we don't struggle as much with that. So we go, oh, you know, I trust that there's enough love to go around. There's enough support to go around. There's love for me. There's love for other people. And our boundaries become much more fluid. And it's easier for us to bring an experience of real love into our lives. And maybe even our heart feels like it gets bigger. Or we feel more compassion. Our fifth chakra is our throat chakra. And that resonates to the tone Hum, and the color is blue. I like to think of it as a turquoise blue or teal blue. And when that chakra is closed, we struggle with how to be creative in the world, how to do things in a way that's like our unique kind of way of doing things. And we think, oh, that's silly, and I shouldn't do it that way, and that doesn't matter. And we discount our own unique way of being in our lives. And also, we struggle with how to ask for what we need. But when that chakra is open, starts to open, it's easier for us to ask with more refinement and more awareness about what it is we need in the world. And it's easy for us to follow and trust our unique way of being in the world and open to our creativity. Sixth chakra is your third eye chakra, and that resonates to the color purple or lavender, that kind of spectrum. And when that chakra is closed, we really struggle with our intuition and what that looks like. We question our intuition. We don't allow ourselves to connect with the idea of intuition. We might overvalue our rational mind at the expense of our imagination, which is where our intuition starts. We devalue the fact that we can manifest things in the world. When that chakra starts to open and we get clear about that, there's a bridge between our intuition, our intention setting, our imagination, and our manifestation. And we feel like we're a really, really important part of that. Our sixth chakra, tone is Om. That tone is Om. And then our seventh chakra is our crown chakra, and that is the color, I like to think of it as a clear or a golden kind of a color, and that chakra is silent, so there's no sound that accompanies it. It's a great way to check in with all the rest of the chakras if you're doing a meditation with it. When that chakra is wide open, or when that chakra is closed, we feel disconnected from a god source or a goddess. We feel disconnected from nature, and we feel like we have to, like we're totally disconnected or isolated from a larger support, a universal sense of support in our community, or in our relationship with any kind of divinity. And when that chakra's open, we feel connected, like we have a right to manifest what we want in the world, and like there's something that's overlooking everything and creating meaning and creating love and support in our lives. So that's just a quick blurb of them.
Wow, that was very good. Very professional. Always.
Beautiful though. What a lovely, you know, explanation of the chakra system and the problems, and boy, you really like gave us a lot of information. I love that. You know? You're ready to go. I was like, man, she's got this like right there. I love it.
I love the work. It's wonderful, powerful work. So yeah.
Jennifer is actually, you've put out a publication, haven't you, about chakras?
Well, I'm in the middle of a bunch of different projects that haven't come to the above the earth yet, but I'm working in an MP3 of this work, this material, which goes through the meditation and goes through the toning. And then I'm also working on a book, but the book, there's all sorts of, you know, caveats. It'll be out there one of these days.
We can't wait to get it.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I guess we're coming up to the holiday season here. It's really exciting, and I don't know, what are you excited most about this holiday season? Pterodactyl, do you want to talk a little bit about
that? Sure. I am always excited about this holiday season. In fact, you know, once it turns October 1st, I'm already planning my Thanksgiving dinner I'm going to cook, because it's my biggest meal of the year. I love cooking a turkey and doing all the fixings and, you know, real mashed potatoes. So I get really excited about the food and the festivities and just that feeling, you know. It's like, I don't know, it seems like people are nicer, unless you're like in Walmart during a sale or something, you know, or on Christmas Eve or something like that, then, you know, you don't think people are so nice maybe. But, you know, I love the fact that, you know, people that may not necessarily, you know, decorate or do very much, you know, around their own homes or whatever, they all seem to like want to put something up, you know. They want to hang a wreath or hang some holly, and I feel like that there's something really wonderful about that, because it brings out that, I guess, the magnanimity, you know, the magnanimous kind of nature that we probably all have within us, but maybe we don't see it so much. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Jennifer, when you were talking about the heart chakra, I got this image of the Grinch and his heart getting larger. You know, like,
yep.
you know, and that's the thing also that I love about it is all those great, you know, old holiday shows that they show every year. You get to watch a wonderful, It's a Wonderful Life again. You get to see the Peanuts gang, you know, celebrate the holidays. And I just, those are the things I love. And then obviously, you know, presents. Love presents. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, new decks coming out in, like, November, early December that I've got my eye on and I'm putting on my list and going to kind of, you know, put it under my husband's pillow. Like, maybe you should give this to Santa.
Is there anything on your list that you are, that you really want this year?
Yes. There is. I'm not ashamed to say it. I really want the DC Comics Justice League tarot deck.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Can you believe it? I am, like, so excited about that. I'm also excited about the new Archangel Gabriel deck coming out by Doreen Virtue, just because I feel like, you know, I've got the Raphael and the Michael one. I need the Gabriel too, right? You know, that would be wrong, I guess, you know, in a sense not to have it. And then I'm really kind of interested. I don't know if you guys read that book by, what was her name? Can't think of her name. The one that wrote the book E Squared. It was such a big kind of deal. Well, there's an Oracle deck, the Oracle of E, that she's putting out with Colette Baron-Reed.
You know? Oh, wow.
So I'm looking for that. And that's, like, going to be, you know, I think it's like a 52-card deck, you know, connected with manifestation, you know, and kind of working with the concepts in the E-Squared book. So I'm really looking forward to those in particular. What about you guys?
Well, you know, I honestly have been so busy, I have not thought about it yet. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some stuff that comes up, for sure, but I usually don't think about it till later. Like, I agree, I love the holiday season, and I love, you know, cooking the turkey and all that stuff, and what I love the most about Christmas is the magnanimous part, for sure, but just the lights and the music. It just gives people such a connection with beauty that I don't think that they have. You know, there's an excuse to slow down, you know, the reason for the season, and they slow down, and they, you know, are able to see these beautiful lights and hear this beautiful music. And so beauty is more of a thing that they're tapped into, you know, that connection with it. And so that's what I love the most about the holiday season.
Yeah. Huh? The natural gifts of the season. Great.
Exactly.
I'm looking at this deck, Nature Whisper.
You were saying that, yeah.
It looks so beautiful, the artwork. And Pterodactyl, don't you have another card deck by that same, by Josephine Wall, isn't it? Josephine Wall, Angela Hartfield.
Yeah, you're talking about the Nature's Whispers Oracle deck, and I've got one that came out, I forget when exactly it came out, at least a year, maybe a year or two ago, but it's called the Whispers of Love deck. But, yeah, by the same creators, and the artwork's just beautiful. And the messages are really interesting, too, because it's not like just a keyword, you know, and it's not like the same old thing you kind of hear. I mean, what I like about that deck in particular is that it talks about all the different kind of aspects of love. You know, it's not, you know, just a sort of true love. You know, I've seen decks that have, like, a true love card, a soulmate card, you know, and I think, like, oh boy, you know, this is high expectation, you know. And this is this is more like the nuances of being in love or loving someone or being of relationships, really, because we all know there's a lot of nuances in our relationships.
I do have one that I saw the other day. There's a guy named Paul Miller on Facebook who is working on a deck called the Revelations. Let me look it up real fast. The Revelations Oracle Card Deck. And he's a friend of mine. I don't know him well or anything, but I had posted him on my Inner Voice page because he has a GoFundMe or one of those things up, and he's raised, I think, 80, 90% of the money that he's looking for to create this deck. But it's a beautiful deck. It is very archetypal, but it's very archetypal based on his idea of archetypes. So it has a card for every single astrology sign in it, a card for earth, air, fire, and water, a card for different gods and goddesses, and it's just, it's really beautiful. I really encourage anybody listening to the show and you guys to take a look for it. He's getting ready to put that out, and I'm excited to see that come to fruition. And GoFundMe, you know, I think it's not GoFundMe, it's the other one, the one where you have to raise the whole amount to get any of it. But it's a beautiful deck, so.
We have to add that to the list.
Revelations Oracle, that is what it's called.
Well, is there Pterodactyl, your show, you have a few that you've done recently and a few shows coming up. Would you like to talk about one before we get off here?
Oh, really? Just, you know, I don't plan that far ahead too much. But, yeah, you know, basically what it is like I declared autumn, you know, I called it, what did I call it? Autumnal spirit season. You know, and kind of for some of the reasons that we've been talking about. So a lot of the shows, you know, that are going to be coming up through the rest of autumn until we get, you know, right into winter are going to be of a more spiritual nature. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, using crystals for physical healing and mental, emotional, and spiritual connection and stuff. And I'm doing a series on contact stones, particular stones that are thought to be connected with various spiritual beings, whether those are angels or archangels or spirit guides or even ancestors and ascended masters. So then mid-November is when I'm doing the stones you use to connect to your ascended masters and kind of talking a bit about what they are and where the term comes from and the concept as well. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And I'm on every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Attune Magazine Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio.
We can't wait to tune into those shows. I know I like to tune in as much as I can. So, the Ascended Masters, that sounds so interesting, and I really have an interest in that. So it should be really great.
Well, thanks. And thanks for tuning in.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on here and speaking about the chakras and about some decks that are coming out and your plans. And, well, thank you very much for being on the show. Anything left that you want to say?
Just trust your intuition, you know. Don't let anybody else tell you what that looks like. Go into your body, notice the colors around you, notice the spirit guides that are working with you and the nature that compels you, and that'll make the journey easier.
Thank you both, and have a fantastic autumn, an enchanting autumn, and thanks for tuning in, everyone, to our Walking the Mist program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.